In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for all of our parishioners of our parish. Now, in this first lesson of the season of the 40 days, and the first Monday in the season of Lent, the Church wants to draw your and mine attention to what real justice looks like, particularly from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, the whole theme of the book of Leviticus, does anybody know what the theme of Leviticus is? You study the scriptures. What is the theme of the entirety of the book? What's this all about? If you've ever started any of your Bible in a year things, and you try to go through the Bible all the way through the year, you run strong, you get through Genesis, exciting narrative, you dive into Deuteronomy or Exodus, it continues there, then Deuteronomy, okay, it continues with a little bit more, and then you hit Leviticus and it gets really weird, and you stop. The reason is because it's talking about all sorts of strange things that don't make a whole lot of sense if you don't know what it's really about. But the entirety of the book of Leviticus can be summed up in one word. I'll give it to you right now. Holiness. That's it. The entirety of that book is all about holiness. How do you live a holy life? It's all about holiness. And it's Leviticus, so it's written to the Levites, the priests. How do they make sure everything remains holy? So it's lots of codes, lots of laws, lots of ways you're supposed to wash and clean things. A whole lot of crazy sins that probably you never even thought about before are written down in the book. It's kind of scandalous. Don't read too closely into some of the things because it gets a little weird. But Leviticus is all about holiness and living it out in the right way. And here, the Church wants to draw our attention here into this chapter where it's speaking about what real justice looks like. Justice and holiness have to go together. What is God's way of seeing what is just? And it's summed up in the very middle of what we have here, and that is, I'll read it for you again. It says, "You shall not act dishonestly in rendering judgment. Show neither partiality to the weak, nor deference to those who are mighty, but judge your fellow men justly." Has anybody ever heard of a term that's bandied about in Catholic theology? I know Deacon Edward has, because he studied a lot of the same things we do as priests in the seminary. Have you ever heard of a preferential option for the poor? No, it's a very big, weird term right there. It was a term that was bandied around. It completely contradicts this passage of Scripture, which is here, which says, all things being equal, side with the poor person. All things being equal, give more attention to those who are less advantaged. Well, that's exactly the difference from what the Scripture says. It says, don't side with the poor. Don't side with the mighty. Just do what's right. Just do what's right. Don't try to stick it to the man because he's got more and it doesn't hurt him as much to lose something. And don't stick it to the poor man because you might have something to gain in favor if you side with those who have something to give you something. Find out what the real cause should be and then go straight there. Don't pervert justice anyway. And that's what our Lord desires us to do. He desires us not to see things the way that man sees them, as this one's mighty, this one's not, and so I'll make a decision based on which side I'd rather go on. But to go directly with God means oftentimes I'm going to make those who are mighty mad. And oftentimes, if I stay with where God is, I'm going to make those who are more disadvantaged mad because I'm not siding with them in one way. But that's the way that God works. He is always moving in justice, always going in the direct way. And so it is for you and I, if we're going to be real followers of Christ, to seek out holiness, which means to judge things rightly. It's a challenge for you and me not to want to knock those who have so much down. It's also a challenge for us to not want to take those who have a lot and sort of curry favor with them for moments when maybe we might not be so advantaged and need a favor in turn. But the gospel is true, and it says, keep yourself clean from any bribe, keep yourself clean from any ulterior motive, but seek what is right and just do it. This is the message of the book of Leviticus, the message of justice, and the message of the way that leads you and I, as the scriptures teach us, as we said over and over again in the psalm response, your words, O Lord, are spirit and life. And we can add to that, it leads you and I unto life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Si se puede conseguir la vida eterna sin los mandamientos, con la sola fe, la cual sin las obras es muerta, ¿cómo podremos admitir lo que Cristo dirá a los de su izquierda? Ir al fuego eterno que está preparada para el diablo y sus ángeles. Reprendoles no su falta de fe, sino no haber practicado buenas obras. A fin de que nadie crea poder conseguir la vida eterna con la sola fe, dice que hará la selección de todos los pueblos mezclados en unos mismos pastos. Aquellos que le representarán, Señor, ¿Cuándo debimos sufrir tales y tales cosas y no venimos en tu auxilio? Serán los que habrán creído en él, pero que no se habrán preocupado de hacer obras buenas, como si fuese posible llegar a la vida eterna con el solo mérito de una fe muerta. Irán al fuego eterno los que no hicieron obras de misericordia, y no irán los que se apoderaron de lo ángel, o los que hayan corrompido en sí mismos el tiempo de Dios, como si las obras de misericordia fuesen de alguien provecho sin la caridad. Dice el apóstol: aunque distribuya todo lo mío a los pobres, si no tengo caridad, ni nadie me aprovecha. Por ventura hay quien ame a su prójimo como a sí mismo, si no se ama a sí mismo. Pues el que ama la iniquidad aborrece a su alma. Y no se incurra en la equivocación de varios según las cuales el evangelista habla de un fuego eterno, pero no arder en él eternamente. Creen que el fuego eterno solo lo atravesarán los que tienen la fe muerta, pero a los cuales prometen la salvación mediante el fuego. De suerte que el mismo fuego sea eterno, mas la combustión no sea en ellos eterna. Proveniendo el Señor este error, termina su sentencia con las palabras siguientes: así irán ellos a la combustión eterna, mas los justos a la vida eterna. De consiguiente, la combustión será eterna como el fuego. La verdad no nos asegura que a ella irán a los que carceren, no de fe, sino de buenas obras. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.